Psalm 25. In you, Lord my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Saviour, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful towards those who keep the demands of his covenant. For the sake of your name, Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Who then are those who fear the Lord? He will instruct them in the ways they should choose. They will spend their days in prosperity, and their descendants will inherit the land. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Relieve the troubles of my heart and free me from my anguish. Look on my affliction and my distress and take away all my sins. See how numerous are my enemies and how fiercely they hate me. Guard my life and rescue me. Do not let me be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope, Lord, is in you. Deliver Israel, O God, from all their troubles.
Thank you very much, Bethan. As I crackle back onto stage, we're thinking about how Christmas is the answer to David's prayer in the middle of that psalm: turn to me and be gracious, for I am lonely and afflicted. And to help us just get us thinking about this idea of loneliness, I need a volunteer to play a game of Connect Four. Hands up, who wants a game of Connect Four? Who's going to come and play at the front? Who wants to come? Any hands up? Thank you, Ed, for volunteering. I'll go with Joel. Joel Harrigan, do you want to come and play? Was that hand up? No, you're feeling shy. You're just waving. Okay, Ed, come on. You can step into the breach as a reserve. I think you're welcome to take your mask off for a minute. There you go.
Thank you.
Great, go for it. Go for it. Yeah, because of health and safety, I can't be too close to Ed. So, Ed, just go for it. Just play yourself. Play your natural game. Reds and yellows.
Ah. Ah, okay.
Just talk us through what you're thinking.
Okay, so, you want to avoid the rookie error of not going in the middle, which I've just avoided. And I'm going to go for a vertical one here, I think. And I think I might go horizontal here. What should I do next? I'm going to go another vertical one here. And then, I think this is building up quite nicely, actually, this one here.
Yeah, you look like you've done this before, Ed.
I've practiced quite a lot. And I'm going to go there.
Yeah.
And I've won.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
For those watching online, there you go. Four in a row. Thank you very much, Ed. Do go grab a seat. There are some things in life that are better with two people, aren't there? There are some things that don't really work with just one person. I was looking at this beautiful box from before I was born, and it makes very clear that this is a game for two players, not for one. Thank you for being a good sport, Ed. here's some marshmallows I found in the fridge as a Christmas prize for you for being a good sport. There are some things in life that are better with two people. I was going to try and get a game of cricket going at the front, but again, health and safety said no. Some things in life are really hard on their own, on your own, aren't they? And Christmas can feel like one of those things. Being on your own or being lonely at Christmas time feels worse than ever. The Queen made that point in her speech yesterday, didn't she? I know some in our church family are feeling that particularly at the moment. And in the Bible, in Psalm 25, David says, "Turn to me, for I am lonely and afflicted." And at Christmas, Jesus came to tackle our problem of loneliness. Now, you probably don't need me to tell you that over the past couple of years, we have been experiencing what a lot of people have called a second epidemic or a hidden epidemic of loneliness. It's impacted young and old and everyone in between as we've spent time in enforced isolation, often unable to see our family and friends. Children have had to do school on a screen. Care home residents have had visits through a window, and relatives overseas have been separated for months and now nearly 2 years on end. But even before the pandemic, millions of us suffered from loneliness. Mother Teresa said that life without other people is the worst disease a human being can experience. She says it's the worst disease any human being can ever experience. And the symptoms can feel particularly acute at Christmas time. Loneliness tends to spike and surge on Christmas Day. It feels somehow on the 25th of December harder and worse to be alone as we look at the empty space at the table. Or we carry those feelings of sorrow that we don't have a family to share the day with. We're going to watch a video that is set against the backdrop of Christmas and loneliness, and then we'll reflect on it together. Thank you very much to our friends at Speak Life who made that video shareable and usable in services. I don't know what you made of that. What kind of struck you from that? You might want to kind of go home and watch it again on YouTube to kind of figure out exactly what was going on. But the producer of the video, a man called Nate Morgan Locke, explained why he wanted to make that film. He said, loneliness is a problem, but loneliness is a particular problem at Christmas. It's like it's worse to be alone on the 25th of December than any other day of the year. It's like Christmas makes loneliness worse. And the lady in the video, I don't know if you could see with the lighting on the screens, but in the background behind her is a photo of her kind of deceased husband and obviously the empty chair showing the hardship she's facing at Christmas on her own. And I know there'll be some in our church family feeling that particularly this Christmas. Some of us feel the pressure just generally to celebrate with friends and family. Some of us can't wait for the season to be over. But Nate Morgan Locke, the producer of the video, goes on to say, Christmas is not the problem. It's the solution. Christmas is not a problem that makes loneliness worse. It is God's solution to the problem of loneliness. You see, Mother Teresa is not quite right when she says, life without other people is the worst disease a human being can experience. The Bible says life without God, life lived in without relationship to our Maker, is our deepest need and greatest problem. And as you read through the first half of the Bible, the Old Testament, really it's a story about how we have drifted and turned away from God. The prophet Jeremiah, acting as God's mouthpiece, says, "My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and they have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." So Jeremiah says, instead of drinking from a plentiful spring that is overflowing, I'm not going to open this now, but you know what would happen if I shook this up and opened it? He says, that is what I was on offer to you when you come to God and find satisfaction in him. But instead, we try to drink from cracked and dry mugs, cisterns that cannot hold any water. We've cut ourselves off from God, from a tap, a plentiful supply of life and relationship with God. And we've looked for meaning and satisfaction in things which cannot deliver at all. And no matter how hard we try to fill the God-shaped hole in our soul, there is nothing that will truly satisfy. No Christmas present, no Boxing Day sale, no Boxing Day sporting fixture, especially not the Ashes, can cure the soul and our ache to be known and in relationship with our Maker. But the good news of Christmas is that God doesn't leave us in our self-imposed isolation from him. In the person of his Son, Jesus, he steps into our world, reintroduces himself to us, and offers us a fresh start. That verse that flashed up at the end of the video was from Matthew chapter 1. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. This is God's answer to David's prayer. Turn to me, I'm lonely and afflicted. God comes into our world, reintroduces himself, and to the loneliest of us all, he says, come and get to know me this Christmas. Now, if you have been watching the TV adverts as closely as I have, you will have probably picked up the subliminal message that Christmas is for happy people, particularly happy families in a well-lit home with a table overflowing with food, with lots of laughter, and generally for people who are only ever a moment away from spontaneously bursting out into song and dance. That is the adverts that have been on my TV, at least, anyway. But actually, what we see in the Bible, more accurately, is that Christmas is for those who hate it most. That is the title of an article I read this week from an American pastor called Matt B. Redmond. And I'm going to quote extensively from his article. I've just changed a couple of Americanisms to translate it for us. But this is what he said. This is why he says Christmas is for those who hate it most. He says Christmas is for those who hate it most because Jesus came for those who look in the mirror and see ugliness. Jesus came for daughters whose fathers never told them they were beautiful. Christmas is for those who go to all-you-can-eat buffets alone. Christmas is for those whose lives have been wrecked by cancer, and the thought of another Christmas seems like an impossible dream. Christmas is for those who would have no friends were it not for social media. Christmas is for those whose marriages are threatening to flip over the edge. Christmas is for the son whose father keeps giving him rugby gear when all he wants is art materials. Christmas is for smokers who cannot quit in the face of a death sentence. Christmas is for adulterers who long for love in every wrong place. Christmas is for gambling addicts who sit in the midst of a family gathering and all they can think about is their next bet. Christmas is for those who are haunted by failed dreams. Christmas is for those who have squandered the family name, who want home but cannot imagine a gracious reception. Christmas is for parents watching their children's marriage fall into disarray. Christmas is really about the gospel of grace for sinners. And he continues, because of all that Christ has done on the cross, the manger becomes the most hopeful place in the universe. The most hopeful place in a universe darkened with hopelessness. In irony of ironies, Christmas is for those who will find it hardest to enjoy. It really is for those who hate it most. And what that author is saying is that Jesus has come to bring hope to the hopeless. Just like in that video. That video, I would summarize it as a tale of surprising friendship. And that is what the Christmas story is all about. Jesus, God's Son, come into our world to be a friend of sinners. What do we see in the video? We see the woman trying to kill the mouse, going to extreme lengths to drive the mouse out of her life, out of her house, and yet in return, the mouse graciously gives her the most valuable gift possible, her wedding ring that she'd lost, that she thought was gone, the symbol of the deepest relationship she'd ever had. The mouse gives her the most valuable gift possible. We instinctively, naturally try to drive God out of our lives, out of our world. And yet at Christmas, Jesus steps into our world not to seek revenge, not to pay us back for how we've treated him, but to meet our deepest needs, to mend the broken relationship between God and us. Christmas is the answer to David's prayer, "Turn to me, be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Relieve the troubles of my heart, free me from my anguish, look on my affliction and distress, and take away all my sins." See, at Christmas, God ends our loneliness by treating us in a way we don't deserve. So no matter how you've treated God in the past, no matter how much at times you may have wished he would disappear from the scene altogether, God graciously offers you his most precious gift, his Son, the Lord Jesus. And he does so not holding against us the wrongs we've done. He offers through Jesus at Christmas to end our lonely isolation from God, if we will just accept and unwrap the gift of relationship with God. So can I say to all here today, to all watching online, if you are feeling lonely this Christmas, the solution is not to avoid Christmas and to pretend it's not happening, but the response is to thank God for the birth of Jesus, for his life, for his death, which brings with it the promise of eternal friendship with God. We're going to turn to our great God in prayer and talk to him now as our Savior and friend. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus who was willing to give up the comfort of heaven to come and taste our loneliness, to come and experience rejection and isolation as he humbly became our Savior and our friend. Thank you that at Christmas a child is born to us, a son is given for us, and thank you that Jesus is God with us. Thank you that Jesus' promise to us is this: I shall be with you until the very end of the age. Thank you that he now lives in us by his Holy Spirit. And Heavenly Father, thank you that you are the God of all comfort. Thank you that you are near to the brokenhearted. And so we pray this morning, this Christmas time, that you particularly comfort Brenda Dunn, grieving for Vin, and particularly for Paul Weaver and the family, grieving for Sue. Would you be especially near to those two families in their heartbreak? Comfort them this Christmas with the knowledge that Vin and Sue are now at home with Jesus. Father, we pray for all those in our church family who find this time of year hard, who are reminded of bereavements or broken relationships. Father, thank you that you have given us to each other as a church family. Help us to be a good comfort to each other in times of sorrow. Help us to remind each other of the good news of the Christmas story. And Father, we pray for our brothers and sisters at Christchurch Wyre Forest as well. We pray that you would sustain and bless them as a church family in the year ahead. We pray that they would remain rooted in Jesus, and through their ministry, many others might come and find salvation in Jesus this year. And Father, we pray the same for Centre Church Droitwich. Thank you for answered prayer for a really positive first term for them meeting together. We pray that you would grant them a deep sense of being a church family together, as we ask that for ourselves too here at Wood Green. Father, thank you that Christmas is good news for lonely people, Thank you that Christmas is good news of surprising friendship with the Lord Jesus. We thank you in his name. Amen.